Okay, tomorrow we're going to get this great opportunity to read Parshas Ki Tsetse, one of the great parshas, 74 mitzvos in the parsha. And of course, we begin with the story of the Ufas Torah, where we're told, V'hayoyim lo chafatztaba, if you're not interested in standing her away, if you don't want to be interested in her, send her back home. U'machor lo simkarena ba'kosef, the Torah tells us, don't sell her for money. Rav Mordechai Zuckerman Zatzal, Rav Mordechai was one of the Talmidim of the Kelm Yeshiva from the altar of Kelm. So he points out that war didn't allow everything. We know that in regard to the story of Yifas Torah, Rashi comments and tells us, lo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzara. Well, Rav Zuckerman is adding over here that that's true in regard to the issues of Arayos. But if you leave the Yetzihara totally unchecked, it will replace one desire for another desire. And in that case, the desire for physical companionship will try to be replaced with the desire for money and power. And still the Torah reminds us that there's a limit to the heter of war, and our need to remember that indeed we can conquer our Yetzihara. We don't just roll over and play dead because we're in a tough situation. Certain areas are tough under immediate stress, but the long-term desire for wealth can be brought under control. We just have to be aware of it, and we can't just keep feeding ourselves. Then the Torah teaches us the famous story of the Ben Sora Omora. Kielish Ben Sora Omora, when you have a rebellious son, and Rashi explains that the Ben Sora Omora is punished in regard to his future. Al Shem Sofo. Now it seems odd, we judge the son because of the result of his actions, but we allow his father, the one who in the moment couldn't control himself, to earn a free pass. After all, Rashi tells us that these three parshios, the Yifas Torah, and the man who has the two wives, and then the Ben Sora Umora, are all contiguous. It starts off with the person who can't control his Yitzhara in wartime, who will wind up having a wife who he is going to be the despised one, and in that situation, it leads to the Ben Sora Umora. So how come we judge the son, but his father also couldn't control himself? Why don't we give the same pass to the son? So one of the late great Nevarikat Amidei Chachamim, Rabbi Zion Brook Zatzal, explained that we see the dangers of the impressionability of youth here. While the soldier who can only join the army at 20 is given some leeway under the duress of war, this youngster is still under the tutelage of Chinuch. If at the young age he's not set to understand the proper path, without any shortcuts, without just looking for the lowest bar, so he will ultimately be a danger to society as a whole. The Torah would rather limit that potential danger. If you can be corrected and rehabilitated, then matov, but if it's a problem already, it's a difficulty. And that's what the parents say, B'neinu zesho soreru more, einenu shomea bekolenu, he doesn't listen to us. Rav Elazar Menachem Manshach Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the late great Rosh Hashiva Panovich, explains that the problem of the Ben Sora Omora is that he does not listen. And somebody who's too busy to listen cannot grow and can never be a part of Kedoshim Tiyu. Such a person can't rise to the occasion and unfortunately is doomed in the future. And so that thus we lose, and we lose another individual. The Torah tells us, Ki kach ish isha ubala usneya. Right? If a person takes a wife and then he's boil her and he hates her and he comes out of the situation frustrated and hates his wife. So then Rashi explains that if one starts off hating somebody, then he or she will come to make up ugly rumors, even about a spouse. What a terrible, horrible situation that comes about and brings about. The late, great Rosh Yeshiva of Lucerne, Rav Yitzchak Kupelman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once pointed out that the motzi shemra that is described here in the Torah is the symptom. It's not the problem over here. The problem begins at the source. What's the source? The source is already at the start of the marriage, there was marital discord, right? And the couple needs to work on that first before they are able to go ahead and deal and totally change their situation. How often does it happen? Everybody's running in our lives today that it's whose fault is it? Forget about fault. Let's first work on the discord, and then we can get past it and get out of some of the great tragedies that exist in our time. The Torah tells us later in the parsha that V'lo avar Hashem Elokecha l'shmoa el Bilam, Hashem didn't want to listen. He didn't allow himself to listen to Bilam. Hashem changed the klal to a blessing. Now, we don't find any actual blessings by Bilam. How could it be that Hashem actually claims that he changed it to a bracha? All we find is Bilam's expression of the traits of Am Yisrael. So what does the pasuk mean when Hashem changed his curses to blessings? So the great Lakewood Mashgiach, Rav Nosson Tzvi Wachvogel, Zeichat Tzadik Lebracha, suggested that in the same way that a curse can begin merely by pointing out one's shortcomings, as Rashi points out in regard to what Bilam tried to do, which was Bilam's intent by highlighting the sins of the Jewish people, the mentioning of our traits of strength become the greatest vessels for a bracha from Hashem, and we have that ability as well. The Torah also reminds us, Zachora Eis Asher Asa Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam. Hashem reminds us to remember what Hashem did to Miriam, and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal asked, how is it possible that Miriam, who had done such great things throughout her life, was to be remembered for a single failing each and every day? Why is that okay? Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal explained that people often think of a scale on which we're judged, whereas as long as you are more or less all right, you're fine. As long as you have more points on the positive side than the negative, you've got nothing to worry about. And what the Torah is telling us over here is that that's not enough. Even one failure can be a critical failure. One needs to strive to abide by Hashem's word totally and completely in all of one's actions, not just be on the right path in some general sense. And we learn from Miriam the importance of every single one of our actions and how important it is to remain focused on our service of Hashem. Rav Lichtenstein happened to add that there is also a more positive correlate as well. We generally say that the reward for good deeds is greater than the punishment for bad ones. And as such, every action that we take in the right direction, every fulfillment of a mitzvah, merits tremendous recognition from Hashem as well. Torah adds, as far as the situation of Yibum is concerned, B'niksha Yevimta Eilav Le'inei Haskenim V'chaltza Na'alo Me'al Raglo. The Yevimta, the Yevamak, will come forward in front of the Zakenim, and she takes off his shoe. She takes off his shoe in that situation. And the Acharonim disagree as to whether one must engage in Chalitza, or whether a woman who doesn't desire to remarry can refuse to undergo Chalitza. And the general assumption is that the difference of opinion is whether chalitza is just simply a mitzvah, or it's what we call a matir. If it's a mitzvah, you have a mitzvah to do the chalitza, whether or not it's embarrassing. If it's just a matir, it's something that allows a woman to remarry, so then, of course, it doesn't have to be done, it's suggested. Rabbi Zalacharif Zatzal suggested that in this case, where the Torah specifies so many details about the reading of the psukim, how exactly, what the specifications for the shoe, each one of these things are part of the commands, then this seems to be a proof that that's a mitzvah. So Rav Shachter Shalita thought that the proof of Rav Eizel L'Charif was not so absolute. Rather, the Torah is specifying what to do if one wanted to engage in chalitza. If one wanted to do so, then these are the words, but that doesn't necessarily prove that it's a mitzvah. The debate continues among the Achronim, therefore, without definite proof, as to whether this is going to be considered a mitzvah or a matir. The Haftorah also continues. Of course, this Shabbos, since a couple of weeks ago, we skipped over the Haftorah for Parshas Ekeb because it was a Shabbos and a Rosh Chodesh. We will combine Haftorah for Re'eh. We will wind up combining these Haftorahs together as one would do when reading the Haftorah for Parshas Noach. And here we're told in the Haftorah, Kol Kli Yutzar Alayach Lo Yitzlach, any weapon sharpened against you will not succeed. Bechol Hashom Takumi Tach LaMishpat Tarshi, and any tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. And Rav Pam explained that lest one think that the greatness in Torah depends on a photographic memory or extraordinary powers of concentration that are gifts from Hashem, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the Chachamim, who are great because they treasure every morsel of Torah that they receive. And by appreciating a depth to a new insight, one guarantees that its impact will be felt for a long time and one will be able to withstand any scrutiny from the outside. Kol Kli Yutzar Alayach Lo Yitzlach. By being steadfast in our observance of Torah, we will guarantee that we can withstand anything from our outside. Be'ezras Hashem, we will also guarantee that when we rise up together to gallantly achieve a wonderful and terrific Shabbos, but a Shabbat Shalom to all.